Kick the tires and light the fires for episode number 16 of the Retro Rewind podcast.
You didn't say it in a southern accent, like a kind of
commentary. Initialized. Mission identified. Independence Day 1996. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
Now, what was that, Paul, as you rudely interrupted Alice?
No, well, you know, people should be used to her by now, but I was saying you didn't say it in a southern accent like Harry Connick Jr. Let's kick the ties and light the fires, or however he says it. But
I should have had you do it. That was much better.
No. Anyway, but a good intro.
Welcome to the Retro Rewind podcast. My name is Francisco Ruiz. I'm a dad.
Hi, Francisco. Let's go.
Hello, Paul. I'm a dad, a designer, and a destroyer of aliens. No, not well, in video games I am, but not in real
life. Oh, okay. That's you're awfully mean to E.T.
And I'm joined, as always, you hear him talking over Alice lots of the time, Paul Powers. Welcome, Paul.
What's up?
Paul, my question, as is our custom for you today, is do you have a favorite movie dog?
Oh my gosh. Off the top of my head, no, I do not.
Okay. I asked because you got a dog, correct?
Yes. Yes. We got Bentley from the rescue. We rescued Bentley, who is a Pomeranian, because my wife likes foo-foo dogs.
Okay. Cool. Very nice. Well, welcome, Bentley. Maybe you can be, if Paul ever can't be a co-host, Bentley can take the reins. And we are joined for guest hosting, pinch hitting for us, because I had trouble lining up another guest host, Josh Powers. You have heard him on a few other episodes, but thank you for joining us once again.
Hey, no problem.
Is it pinch hitting? I always thought it was pitch hitting.
So me and Christy actually cleared this up with Christy's sister, who's a novelist, and it is in fact pinch hitting because they
went
hit
in a pinch.
Yeah. Exactly.
That makes more sense.
Why a novelist classifies her as a baseball sports person. I think just because she's good with words, so that's what it does.
What a novel idea.
No. Oh, where's the sound effects on this? Oh, this isn't morning radio. Okay, never mind.
I only have a limited bank of sound effects.
Okay.
Later. Josh, could you remind us what you do, and do you have a favorite movie dog?
Well, I do comedy stuff, writing and stuff. You can see some of my work at Treacher Riffs, well, that's the group that me and my partner Jordan, we riff movies. If you're familiar with Riff Tracks or Mystery Science Theater. Favorite movie dog.
Yes.
The first one I think of is Toby from The Great Mouse Detective.
Oh, that's a fun one.
I do remember there's a dog in that movie. I haven't seen it.
But I was just recently reminded of the dog in The Artist. He was fun and cute and stuff, but
I have not seen that.
But he's no Benji.
Yeah. So I think there are a lot of great dogs out there in movies, but those are two that come to my mind.
Very cool. Thank you. Yeah. And if anyone's curious, I'm a fan of Bolt. I like Bolt.
Yeah, Bolt's fun.
Let it begin.
Wait, Goofy. There we go.
Oh, nice.
Booyah.
Not anthropomorphic. Whatever.
Doesn't matter. He has two movies. One is extreme, too.
We are digressing a little too soon on this episode, so let's get back on track. Paul, will you tell us what we're going to be doing today?
Today we're going to be listening to the podcast as we light the tires and kick the fires. No. sorry. Oh, we're going to be changing things up a bit. After hearing from some of you, we decided to get right to the round table first thing and give you our classic or second class rating on the movie Independence Day. Then we'll go into NewTube and And finally going to wrap things up with some feedback.
All right, Alice. Have you found our target today?
Nope.
Alert. Alert. Target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
Movie clip. Now.
This will be entering our atmosphere within the next 25 minutes. Take us to DEFCON 3. This holiday weekend. The only safe place to be is inside a theater. Independence Day. That's what I call a close encounter. Rated PG-13 at theaters now.
And that's what I call a cheesy TV spot. But that's beside the point. And we're not going to judge Independence Day on its TV spots. But...
Although I may bring that up later.
Oh, well. That is completely within your rights.
Speaking of TV spots, what's that latest Will Smith movie where it's Return to Earth or something
after
like that?
After Earth.
I always thought, seeing it in theaters and on TV, they should have ended it with Will Smith from this movie when he's talking to the alien who says, "Welcome to Earth."
Only he would have to say, "Welcome to After Earth."
Well, no.
It's welcome to Earth. It's still Earth.
Yeah, it's still Earth.
Welcome back to Earth. There we go.
Yeah, that could work.
All right, anyway.
I like how we devolved into analyzing TV spots. Anyway, Josh, could you please read or just give us the synopsis for Independence Day?
The aliens are coming, and their goal is to invade and destroy. Fighting superior technology, man's best weapon is the will to survive. You want me to do a different one?
No. Let's just go with that. Paul?
Storyline.
Hopefully you have a bit more fleshed out technicals for Independence Day.
No, let's bore people with Independence Day.
If you haven't seen this movie, why are you listening, or know what this is, why are you listening to this?
This came out on July 3rd, 1996 in the U.S. of A. Let's see. It was directed by Roland Emmerich. Do you know what else he's done?
Several things. He's done. Ooh. Well, here, we'll see. We'll name movies, Josh, you and I, and see who ends up not knowing. So, 2012, he did.
Stargate.
He's going to be doing Independence Day 2.
Yes.
Ooh.
Also, without looking, let's see. 2012.
I said that already.
That's why I was able to do it without looking. I said it already.
Day After Tomorrow is what I meant.
Okay.
And I guess I lose because I can't think of any others.
Unless... Godzilla! Boom!
Oh, did you?
Oh, Godzilla. Yeah. Oh, okay.
All right. Yes. So he is.
He did White House Down.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, he's a big disaster movie director for the most part.
Yes. He also directed a Shakespeare movie called Anonymous, but I didn't see it, but I hear it was a disaster.
Should have seen it.
All right, it also stars Will Smith and Bill Pullman and Jeff Goldblum and a whole bunch of people. Randy Quaid, Vivica A. Fox. The list goes on and on and on. So do you want me to keep going?
No, that's fine.
Oh, okay. This movie was actually made for an estimated $75 million. Its opening weekend grossed... Do you think it grossed over $75 million?
Yes.
In its lifetime or its opening weekend?
Opening weekend.
No, $75 million in 1996, that would have been, like, huge.
I'd say it was in the hundreds.
No.
It actually opened in the USA for opening weekend was $50 million.
Oh, yeah.
Darn it. All right, hold on.
Yeah. In 2001, Spider-Man.
Spider-Man died as Mario.
No, Spider-Man broke records in 2001 or 2 when it grossed $114 million.
Oh. It finally wind up the gross over $300 million, okay. Though.
Yeah.
Less than a year.
Let's get our perspectives right, okay? Avengers was the first movie to break $200 million on opening weekend, okay?
Yeah, but like it, it cost more than that to make it.
Yeah.
Do you know what, if is any movie made more in its opening weekend than it cost to make it?
Yeah, happens all the time.
Yeah, I was about to say Star Wars Episode One in 3D.
Blair Witch. any movie, you know, made under any blockbuster movie. Let me think. Paranormal Activity. There we go. There's another one.
Okay, probably. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about different.
Let's talk about
Independence Day, right?
Independence Day, yes.
All right.
I declare independence from these off-topic topics.
Yeah. This is going to turn into a drinking game of how many times you get off-topic.
Oh, goodness. All right. So, let's go ahead and start with quickfire predictions on whether we thought we would rate Independence Day classic or second class.
Josh.
My prediction before watching the movie, I would say classic.
Awesome.
That would be my prediction.
Cool.
Or was
my prediction is second class just because I haven't seen it in a while.
Okay.
And the fact that I haven't seen it in a while means that it is in a probably not.
Ah, okay. And my prediction was classic because I had fond memories of the movie.
All right.
Now, let's reminisce a bit on the things we remember loving about the movie before we rewatched it. And let's go ahead and start with Josh.
My memories, I remember the anticipation when this came out was huge. Like, this was going to be, like, the biggest movie ever.
Yeah, I remember seeing the trailer before, yeah.
And yeah, they had a really awesome trailer too. Like the teaser was just like it was just like people in the road and that, you know, the fireball coming and it's just like aliens. Mm-hmm. You know, that was it. That's the entire thing. Nothing else was sold on other than this movie had aliens blowing up the earth and that's all you needed to know. And they did a great job on that. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that being like huge thing. This is all about like building up to that opening weekend, mm-hmm. which, you know, genius.
Yeah, this is the first time that I can remember seeing national monuments exploding on an epic scale. I mean, it's not that uncommon in movies, but it wasn't the start of like the disaster movies. I remember seeing things like Dante's Peak and Volcano and things like that.
Disaster movies go back farther than that. You know that, right?
Oh, I know. But, you know, there's plenty of movies before that. But this is the first time I remember seeing like throughout, you know, around the world, national monuments being destroyed. Do you think that's correct?
Yeah, I can think of like, you know, Planet of the Apes with the Statue of Liberty, but as far as like active destruction of monuments, this was like pretty much, yeah, I think I want to say kicked off the trend.
Actually,
yeah, and I think this was multiple. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say it wasn't multiple, but you got to remember Superman 3 with the Leaning Tower of Pisa being.
Oh, good point. Good point.
There we go.
Yeah. Because he also straightened out the Statue of Liberty too. No, but it wasn't unheard of to do a monument in the movie, but to have multiple.
Or maybe at least the selling point of the movie is watching, you know,
the explosion of the White House,
explosions of, you know, memorable or of landmark. Well, monuments.
I would disagree that that's the selling point of the movie. For me, it's almost. Maybe as a kid it was that, but I think more so like fighting the aliens was the selling point. Like these things are out to get us and we have to fight back. I thought that was more compelling to me as a kid than I want to see stuff blow up.
For me, it was the whole package.
Oh, okay.
Anyways.
So I guess just to finish up, so I remember I was a young teen. Uh-huh. So of course I enjoyed the mess out of it, but I didn't love it so much. Oh, but it was great. It was very fun. Brent Spiner, you know, hit that whole scene, especially when he gets the thing around his throat, mm-hmm. was like one of the most intense things I'd ever seen in a movie in my life at that point.
Look what they did to Data.
So the special effects, you know, were I think were pretty amazing.
Yeah, I would totally second that.
Found out I found out that it actually has the most miniatures ever for a movie.
More than Lord of the Rings? Just wow.
I was thinking more than stop motion camera.
This like, just to give you an idea, every single aircraft was a model. There was no planes, like everything. The ship itself, like the mothership, was like 65 feet long. So it only got.
And Jeff Goldblum was a model too.
So I was thinking maybe Lord of the Rings, but there was. I mean, all of Independence Day was like practical effects. So,
yeah. That's cool.
So, yeah, that's what I remember.
Awesome. Paul, how about yourself?
For me, Will Smith was fun to watch. I liked Randy, his name? Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation.
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid. He was fun. And, you know, Bill Pullman and. That guy from Jurassic Park and and a lot of other memorable.
I remember Bill Pullman, who we better know as Lone Star from Spaceballs.
Yes.
Lone Star.
He will always be Lone Star. Anyway. But there's also, you know, and like the scene, like I'm not a smoker, nor do I condone smoking. Because, you know, I've lost loved ones to it. But the scene where they smoke the cigar at the end with the fat lady, that scene, that's a touching scene.
Yeah, totally.
And I still remember that Jeff Goldblum still had his wedding ring, even though that he didn't, even though he was divorced, but it showed that he didn't give up on his marriage. I still remembered that.
I certainly didn't remember that. Totally. That's an awesome thing to pick up on.
Yeah.
You know what?
What about you, Francisco?
Well, I would totally agree with you with Will Smith. I remembered him like this for me made him an action star, and he is a very fun action star. I totally disagree though with Randy Quaid.
Not Men in Black.
Men in Black, I believe, was the year after this.
Yes,
so that's what did that.
It was the July 4th of the following year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And the July 4th of the following year was another Will Smith movie. In Wild Wild West.
Godzilla.
But so you didn't like Cousin Eddie in this?
No,
huh?
Oh my gosh, he annoyed me so much. And I and this is
spooky, but
he. I mean, I remember him annoying me a lot. As after watching it this time, I was a little less, slightly less annoyed by him, but he's just not a fun character. He just annoyed me.
Oh,
well, you've seen Christmas Vacation, right?
Yeah. And he annoyed me in that too.
Well, okay. Okay, that says a lot. Okay.
You know, I could see how that character can come across as annoying, especially when I was younger. But after rewatching it now, it was more endearing to me now that I'm older. The fact that, you know, he won his son over is like, you know, because he was trying to save the life of his other son. And then, you know, his son looked at him as a hero at the end. It just really touched my heartstrings this time. But that's me.
You know, I can totally get on board with the sentiment of it. But I just don't. I think when I've seen Randy Quaid in more serious roles, I think he's fine. But. For whatever reason,
I don't know if that phrase has been ever uttered in human history. Randy Quaid in more serious roles, Paul, such as what?
Randy Quaid is an Oscar nominated actor.
I thought I heard
he went like kind of off the deep end, kind of Lulu,
because he was abducted by aliens. No, he was in the 70s. He was a dramatic actor, or at least a very respectable one. I mean, he still played goofballs, but very respectable actor. But of course, you know, as the decades go on, he has gotten kookier. But his last movie that he did was Brokeback Mountain, and he played a very small but dramatic role. Mm-hmm.
You serious, Clark?
Nice.
Anyway, so I also agree with moving off of actors. I also agree with Josh about the special effects. I remember thinking they're just amazing and loving everything about it special effects wise. I cannot remember anything that I didn't like.
The movie's only Oscar was for special effects.
Well, there you go. It's well deserved.
Yeah.
I also
really I didn't think go ahead. I'll talk about it later.
No. If it's
no, go for it.
If it's on special effects, please go ahead.
No, it was actually on being nominated.
Oh, then seriously,
Paul, I was surprised at that. good one.
I'll finish, and you can
point bring to that Francisco. No, I'll wait for it for the different section when we talk about what we liked when we saw it again.
Okay, cool. I also remember really liking Bill Pullman and his speech, just like you guys. His end of
Someone else wrote that speech for him, just like all the other presidents. Well,
fine, but he still delivered it very rousingly. And then,
well, he's an actor,
and I really remember loving how the way they went about defeating the aliens. They didn't just brute force it with like more jets, more nukes, more anything like that. They actually, subverted their defenses and got them that way. I remember really loving that.
That's like a good Zelda boss. You know, you try to throw, you go right up to it and you just try to attack it. But really the way that you get it is you have to think, there's got to be one, clever way around this. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
It's so clever that the aliens don't even have anti spyware.
They didn't get the latest edition of McAfee, obviously.
Yeah.
I do think it's
they're so advanced. They're like Apple. They don't know what antivirus software is.
This is sort of getting into I'll use this to transition to the things that we liked after watching it, but did you guys get the feeling that the whole idea of uploading a virus and that defeating the aliens was an homage to War of the Worlds, where an actual virus is what defeats the aliens?
Oh, I didn't think about it that way. That's cool.
On my research of this movie, it had never occurred to me until this time watching it.
Oh, until this time watching it. I thought you said until this podcast. When I revealed this amazing
during my research for this podcast.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
What? They're both viruses. Whoa.
Yes. Paul, but since you want to talk about that nomination, let's move into those things that we loved or liked after watching the movie recently.
I was surprised how good the music was. And some of the scene.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I was about.
I was like, I really don't think the scenes would have been as emotionally poignant for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
As very rousing.
Definitely the way the music swelled when his wife died, when the first lady died, that was, I thought, really touching and sad. And then toward the end when they're like, dun, 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 dun. Yeah, I'm not gonna.
Yeah,
yeah.
I enjoyed the music better this time.
Yeah, and I had forgotten about the music, but yeah, it is a really well done score. I thought. I would agree. Josh, what's something that you loved or really liked on rewatching it?
I still think it. Well, I don't know if I still think, but I do think it's probably the best, or at least my favorite Independence Day movie to watch, July 4th movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it's July 4th. If you're going to watch a movie, it's hard to go wrong with Independence Day. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of patriotic movies. Oh, like The Patriot, which...
Like Yankee Doodle Dandy?
Didn't Roland Emmerich direct, I believe. But
I thought Randy, the guy who wrote Braveheart, I thought directed The Patriot.
That's possible. Anyway,
that's what it is. I think. I don't know. But.
So, yeah, there's a lot of, Celebrate America, Frank Capra movies that would kind of hit the nail on the head, but I don't think, I think Independence Day is just probably the most fun. Maybe captures the spirit, maybe best. I don't want to say that, but it's one I like to go to. I wonder if it's Roland Emmerich, if it's my favorite Roland Emmerich movie. But I mean, I really enjoyed Stargate too. I haven't seen some of his others. It's.
Do you know Roland Emmerich directed The Patriot?
Oh, did he? Okay, sorry.
Okay, there we go.
Well, so I misspoke. I'm sorry. You had it right, Josh.
Okay, thanks. Something I picked up on this is that the best word for my, I think it was really iconic, in the sense that, you know, it's not the best movie of the 90s, but it's one of the most iconic movies of the 90s, especially for alien invasion movies. Because the 50s, you had War of the Worlds, and you had all the sci-fi B movies. And then the late 70s and early 80s, you had the pinnacle of what I think of the quality alien movies, like Close Encounters, Alien, The Thing, E.T., you know? Mm-hmm. But then, you fast forward to the 90s, like the first movie you think of is Independence Day. And
well, I would think this was more disaster than Alien. Even though it is an alien invasion, there's a series of disaster movies in the 90s, like Armageddon, The Day After Tomorrow, 2012. I'm not
about Alien Invasion.
I know it was a joke. Sorry.
Movies. And I think there are two really iconic things from the movie. You know, the ship coming in, you know, over the city, and the explosion of the White House. I mean, those are things I think were that I really liked, you know. And I also really liked something that it's not the, you know, it's not, like I said, the best movie, but boy, does it build tension well, you know? It really knows how to set the stakes and just kind of move on in a very intriguing way. And I also liked seeing Mae Whitman, who plays Anne on Arrested Development as a young little girl.
Mm.
She's in Parenthood and a bunch of billion other things.
So was she the daughter of the president and first lady?
Yep. Yeah, she was a little girl.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah. So she went on to have a whole, and now she's the voice of April O'Neil in the current incarnation of Ninja Turtles.
Oh.
Wait. Oh, on the TV.
Nickelodeon.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say I thought Sarah Michelle Gellar was the voice of the last CG movie.
Right, but that's why I said current incarnation.
Well, I didn't realize there was a Nickelodeon cartoon. So the current incarnation to me was...
Dude, what sewer have you been living in?
So yeah, those are all things I liked.
Okay, just very cool.
The those elements of it.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And the humor. I didn't even get to talk about all the humor that I adored. Like, there's one thing that I, watching it, I enjoy most is some of the character moments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fat lady.
Well, yeah, the fat lady. Yeah, that one.
Judd Hirsch, Jeff Goldblum's father. Anything he says, he has.
My favorite. He was. I remember not, and this is more like the things we didn't like, but I remember not liking him as a kid. But on rewatching, I really liked how real he felt because of all his like mispronunciations of things and his inflection. I thought he was a very genuine character, and I really appreciated that.
I thought he was just slightly over the top for the typical Jewish character, but he was still fun to watch.
He does borderline caricature stereotype of it.
Borderline? He's on the other side of the line.
But like where it's just too far, he's just a cartoon version, but I think he played it very, very well. I mean, there's a lot of one-dimensional characters, I think, but they're at least entertaining to watch.
Right. Well, there's so many characters. That's one of the things that I forgot about the film is that there are a lot of side stories, and it was fun to see a lot of actors in it that you recognize now, like Jane from Firefly and...
I know, I love that. I was like, the hero of Canton's in this movie. Sweet, I forgot about that.
But a lot of little actors like Kevin's dad from Wonder Years is in there at the beginning. And so there's many different little actors in here.
The girl that's the daughter in Mrs. Doubtfire is in this also. She's the daughter of Randy Quaid.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the boy she's
kissing...
And Harry
Connick. Oh, the boy she's kissing at first, like that He played the same role in all of his films.
Well, no, was he from Seventh Heaven, though? Me and Christy were wondering, like, where... I thought that's where I knew him from, but maybe it's from something else.
Well, he's also... One of his bigger roles is 10 Things I Hate About You. Okay. He's the main villain. And he's been in a lot of things like that.
Okay. Well, cool. Sorry to... I felt like I hijacked it from you, Josh, but I'm going to continue with the hijackery.
And oh, no, I think I said a lot.
I thought that was the job of the host.
Yeah, it is. So good on me. Anyway, I really liked the REM song at the beginning. I thought that was highly appropriate.
Yeah, it's the end of the world as we know it. I did too. That brought a smile to my face.
Yeah, I remember watching that. Go on.
And
I knew a little trivia about that, but I forgot. It was supposed to be a different song.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Give me a second.
I thought it was appropriate because it came around that time. And
yeah.
Well, no, it had been out for a while.
Yeah,
but
I had it.
That was a song, I believe, yeah. But I also liked, while Josh is looking that up, I liked how quickly we got to the aliens. It seems like, especially a movie where... Paul, you were saying there's lots of characters. It seems like they take way more time to set them up, typically,
mm-hmm.
and go into more backstories. So I really appreciate that they only sort of touched on them, and then we got the aliens right away. I really appreciate that.
I agree, but did this movie seem a little on the long side to you?
Yes, it was 2.5 hours.
It was that long, and it did feel that long.
The song is Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Yeah.
Tears for Fears.
They made the right choice in going with that.
I believe they did too.
Yeah.
It was a long movie.
Yeah, I'd agree. And so we can talk about that more in the next section. But one last thing that I really liked was, and this sort of taps into the music that you brought up, Paul, but the way they demarcated the days, like July 2nd, July 3rd, July 4th, I really loved the one between the 2nd and the 3rd, the way the light goes out and then you get July 3rd. There's something about that that's just like all this destruction happened and now a new day and here we're still, they're still here, still fighting or surviving, I should say, at that point. Something was just very appealing to me about that. And those are the main things that I remember that I really liked after watching the movie. Alrighty, let's go ahead and move into things that we remember hating or just really disliking about this movie before we watched it. And I'm going to kick it over to Paul this time.
Two things that I didn't like before watching it. I remembered Will Smith yelling, "What is that smell?" You know, and to me, I know it's supposed to be funny, but for me, it was a little bit over the top.
What?
It's
it was
like,
so funny. I don't
know. It was improvised.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Well,
and apparently, like where they filmed it, it was like it smelled really bad.
For me, I mean, the fact that he was yelling about it so much after going through all that is like, I know the adrenaline's supposed to be up and it's supposed to be funny,
I gotta say that works though, because
I agree.
If you're annoyed by what just happened and. Like smell is like the thing that's like super offensive and you're like, that's the straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing. It worked for me.
Well, after rewatching it, I didn't think it was that bad.
Oh, okay. Well, cool.
Oh.
But you remember not liking it. Got it.
Yeah.
And what was the other thing?
Well, hey Josh, do you remember the story what Dad told us about the explosion in the tunnel and the dog?
The story? No. I remember it being super cheesy.
Well, apparently before this movie came out, they did some test screenings, and the dog actually died in that scene, and they got so much feedback that they really didn't like the movie. A lot of it was because that dog died in the tunnel scene, like he didn't make it. So they put it back in, and then they got rave reviews.
That is one of the rules of screenwriting. Never kill the pet.
You can kill the first lady. You can kill everybody. Annihilate them, but don't kill the
pet. You can kill any human, but as soon as you kill one animal, Boom. You lose your audience.
Pretty Bird. Pretty Bird.
That's probably the case with most movies, but I gotta say that with I Am Legend, speaking of Will Smith, that him killing his own companion was pretty integral to the movie and his sort of like where it went from there. So
yeah, like
as far as pleasing mass audiences though.
Yeah.
It pleased me to have a movie that was that I cared that much about an animal and what the character had to do.
The scenes
I am mass audience.
All right. Anyway, Independence Day.
Independence Day. Josh, what are some things that you remember not liking?
Like I said, I didn't love it at the time, and I kind of wish I did. Like, I really liked it a lot, but, you know, the pinnacle of the movie's moment, the movie has its moments where it's just great. You know, like I said, anytime that Brent Spiner, the whole Area 51, that was really great. Like, if the whole movie were at that level, I would love it, but it was just
I was kind of bored with some of the scenes in Area 51.
Oh,
well. But some of it were really cool, but other parts were kind of like, all right, let's get on with it.
Yeah, you know,
but, I kind of felt the same way, Paul. Okay, well, I enjoyed that scene. You know, the there's just Will Smith and Harry Connick Jr.'s. I get what they're trying to do, and it just wasn't like it seemed like it was on its way to being really good, but never tried to be great.
Yeah, I thought Harry Connick Jr. was just okay. I thought he was like Paul thought Will Smith took it a little too far over the top. I thought Harry Connick Jr.'s character was a bit too far over the top.
Oh, I totally disagree. I thought he was great.
So basically, I didn't have any like I said, I was a young teen, mm-hmm. So there wasn't anything I hated so much as just the worst, I guess, was I was bored sometimes.
Got it. For me, I'm going to say that the things that I remember not liking was the first lady dying. I really liked her, and it is sad to me that she died. I didn't, like I said before, I didn't like Randy Quaid. I really thought he was just like, we were talking about how the movie was a little long. Cut out that whole, cut out him and his whole family.
There were sides.
Yeah, he was a side story you didn't need to tell. I mean, I know in the end, he's sort of the instrument they used to destroy the ship over Area 51, but you could have done that a different way, I felt. And then the only other thing was that, all right, so this is kind of a very technical thing, but and this wasn't the first time I watched it, but later on, sort of in my college years watching this.
No.
Yeah, it was in my college years. I noticed that Will Smith, he's a fighter pilot, and he goes and flies a helicopter to go rescue or go see if he can find his fiance, girlfriend, whatever. And you cannot, I mean, I guess it's possible that he's flown several aircraft since he's a candidate for NASA, but to me, it just seems unlikely that he would be able to just fly a helicopter because the aerodynamics of a helicopter are much more difficult to do than flying an airplane. So that was just a little annoyance that I had.
Oh, okay. The easy of the adaptability.
The ease of
adaptability. Sorry, the easy adaptability of Will Smith's character to basically to be able to fly any vehicle he comes across.
Well, I don't know I don't think it was really, he was play. Oh, actually, that's a good point because then he flies the alien aircraft really easily. All right, okay, then never mind. I'll give you that as just his own adaptability.
Yeah, he's an alien.
He's an alien. No, he would never be accepted in Men in Black if he was.
No, they use his intelligence. That's why he was never accepted into NASA.
Oh.
I don't know. Never mind. This is silly. Anyway.
Anyway, let's move on to things that we hate or really disliked after watching the movie. Paul, let's start with you.
I didn't really hate anything. It just felt a little long.
Okay. Yeah, I'd agree. It did feel a bit long. I think going back to Area 51, I think that that's where it kind of felt a bit long, and then the Randy Quaid storyline.
Oh, I did hate the fact that Will Smith shows up with an alien in a truck, and they let him onto Area 51 along with 100 other RVs.
But that's his clearance.
Yeah, but not for all those other people. Clearly, the writer's never been on a military base.
And, especially when they're at war with another, alien.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently you can just having a, testing the veracity of the alien itself. It's just like, look at this, an alien. It's like, oh, yeah, that's an alien, and you can go ahead. Mm-hmm. I don't have to call my supervisor about this at all. You just go ahead.
No, and that's not a guy in a costume.
By that time, they knew there was aliens, though. So it's
exactly, yeah, that's why true. You want to beef up your security in that point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but that's, I can understand letting Will Smith's truck through, not everybody else.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Okay, how about you, Josh?
On that note, plot holes.
Yeah, that's the main thing I have. But
this movie has a lot of plot holes. Now, the biggest plot hole, the one that it gets the most flack for, rewatching it, it totally makes sense for me. And it's basically the, how does he upload a virus onto the alien's ship? Do they run in the same user interface and all this kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. It's like, how is the compatibility of the software? And it totally made sense to me rewatching it, because the whole movie is predicated on Jeff Goldblum being the only one to actually figure out their technology they used our technology and used it against us. You know, that's where he decodes the whole thing and finds out the timer. So,
well, that, he said, was from the binaries, which is based on a combination of zeros and ones, and they were slowly decreasing, he said. So that's really basic, but the alien technology is way more complicated than that.
Yeah, I could see the aliens using our own technology, because they may have had a prehistoric version of ones and zeros, but I would think that theirs would be much more advanced to use zeros, ones, and twos.
Well, it seemed, I think, I counted that off just as, technical jargon kind of thing. The thing was just like, okay, so the movie's implying that he understands their technology. So that's how I interpreted that. But I understand the complications, but as far as the movie's intent, I'll grant it that much leeway.
Now, I could see both sides, because just because you get a DOS prompt doesn't mean you can run an operating system.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. So it's just kind of the movie's intent. I'll grant it that. But
yeah.
And
what other plot holes?
Oh, just like you said, just letting them through. Gosh, I don't even know where to begin for the rest. Let's move on to the other things.
Okay.
That you hate.
Please, because I know there's a bunch and I'm just pretty much forgetting. But the movie does take a lot of liberties. Here's another one where they say, oh, yeah, there is an Area 51. It's like divulging this huge secret to just everybody in that Air Force One. There's like, oh, hey, by the way, did you, it's like, just, hey, here's, no clearance. Just like, we're just going to let everybody here know this thing,
you know?
Yeah,
but at that point, as long as I've grown up, Area 51's been about aliens. And if you can see that there's aliens, then there's no real point of having it be a secret anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
It just seemed, I don't know, it's just very sensitive information. Just seemed like, oh,
yeah,
hey,
see that, yeah.
What I thought, it was a little bit too ridiculous. The president says that there is no Area 51 when everyone knows that there is.
He said there's no Area 51 as in, not how you're thinking. I do think it was a little extreme for him to say there is no Area 51.
Yeah. I'm
trying to say there's no Area 51 as you see it. As a place for, housing aliens. But moving on.
I was going to say before you continue, the only thing I disliked after watching the movie was also a plot hole, so I wanted to step in. It was that toward the end, in the later parts of the movie, some of the characters are watching news reports, and the news reporters look like completely cleaned up, no issues, and most of the cities at this point are destroyed. So how is it that they're getting these TV signals of reporters just being like, the aliens are doing such and such? It just seemed really like,
And from the satellites, they're still using to communicate with the aliens.
The anchor people are too nicely dressed. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, for at that point in the movie, and plus the cities that would be broadcasting that would be decimated. So where are those reports coming from? Just local news? But then why are people wouldn't be concerned with how they look on TV at that point, I would think.
Except Anchorman. The one group of people who would care about that would be Anchormen and women.
Maybe. I don't know any personally.
Oh, okay. So that whole part with the dog being saved and all that, I should have mentioned this earlier as we were talking about it, but that is the biggest eye roll for me. It's like, in fact, if you're familiar with the web series Nostalgia Critic, he makes it a running gag of just how blatantly super important it is. It's just saying, yes, but does Boomer live? Does the dog live? You know, it's just like, that's the only thing. It's like, it's just so odd. It's cringe-inducing sometimes to just think about it. Also, V, do you remember the TV movie series?
Yes.
The movie and the series V? If you go back and rewatch, if you go back like to the original, mm-hmm. it is Independence Day. Like, there should have been a lawsuit level of similarities.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like the ships coming in, the like over the cities and all that kind of stuff. It is, so that's another thing. It's like, because I've seen V since, it's like, it's hard to watch Independence Day knowing like, oh, this is the original. There's no allusion or anything to the series V.
Well, how else are the aliens supposed to get there?
It's like the way V is, not just like a ship is overhead. It's just the way they're hovering. It's just like, it's almost, the way the story unfolds is almost identical, and it's,
there's other sources where they use giant flying saucers.
On the same note of Independence Day borderline ripping off V, I think it's really funny that you remember Star Fox 64?
Oh, I love how they homaged Independence Day.
They rip off
Independence Day. They don't rip it off.
They blatantly homage.
Yes, okay.
Independence Day. So it was like kind of this, like, I just thought it was kind of funny. It's just like kind of one from V to Independence Day to Star Fox, you know, this kind of progression here.
I love that level so much because it was like, I'm playing in Independence Day. It was so cool.
It was better than the actual Independence Day game.
Oh, I never played that one.
Yeah, it's a PlayStation 1. Star Fox was better.
Alrighty. Cool. Thank you, Josh. Anything else from either of you guys about things you disliked after watching the movie?
The characters being... Because I know more about screenwriting and how characters are written, and it's just... The characters are just blatantly just, they are there to serve this role, and they have to have this personality.
They're very one-dimensional.
Very one-dimensional. Harvey Fierstein, who has a really, you know, he's fun to watch, but that is a typical one-dimensional character.
How would you make him two-dimensional, considering that the story is already as long as it is?
Cut him out?
No, but then the tapestry isn't as rich and colorful.
Okay, you can't have both.
Exactly.
Well, you take some of the one-dimensional characters and you combine them to make three-dimensional characters. So you save time and increase the quality.
Disagree. I like the variety of characters.
What I'm saying is I like the variety of characters too, but this seems also like there's a who's the straight man in a lot of those scenarios? It's almost all comic relief.
Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum has some funny lines.
But so does straight men.
I'd say the president's a straight man.
Oh, yeah, the president. Oh, yeah. Anyway. So, yeah, those just some of the characters were not. They're just very flat. So.
Like Paper Mario. Alrighty, guys. Well, that, I think, rounds out our roundtable. So, with that, Alice, do you have a firing solution ready for us?
Oh, okay.
Firing solution complete. Rating salvo at the ready. On your mark.
Alrighty.
I guess the moment of truth has arrived.
It has indeed. All right, we've discussed Independence Day. Now, would we rate Independence Day a classic or second-class movie? Let's start with Josh. And can you remind us, after you tell us how you rate it, what makes it a classic or second class?
I rate it a classic.
With a question mark?
I'm a classic, but it's a close call because it's
it's a 60% classic.
Yeah, it's like a guilty pleasure. Like rewatching it, it's like a guilty pleasure, but it's in a blockbuster summer action movie kind of way, which it absolutely is, and you can't fault anybody for enjoying a blockbuster summer action movie.
Yeah,
so
sure you can.
For what it is, I will say it's absolutely a classic.
Cool. And well, so how do you define classic then? Just something that
Means to be? Yeah, just transcends time of being like, you know, it's like this is a great movie whether it was made in the 90s or the 50s. If this were made in the 50s, you know, I'm not sure it'd be quite the same thing. But the fact that it was a product of 90s blockbuster action disaster alien invasion movies, you know, it's a relic of its time, but it's better than that, so.
Okay, cool. If you could say there is one thing that would have made it a second class, what would that have been?
What would have made it a second class movie?
Yeah, like what was its worst thing it had against it? I'm just curious.
Oh, like what everything I didn't like about it.
Okay, all right.
It just seemed like it was pandering plot sometimes. Plot holes. And the plot holes, and it just like you expect big action movies have some of the biggest plot holes, then you can forgive it. That's just part of the genre, it seems. So it's easier to forgive that, you know.
Cool. All right, so that's one classic. Paul, what say you?
Well, a classic for me would be if my peers were over and we had time to watch a movie, wanted to watch a movie, and they hadn't seen it, would I recommend it? If everyone was in the mood for this type genre movie, I would recommend it, so I would call this a classic.
Yes, it appeals to the masses.
Yeah, well, it has a wide variety of characters, a lot of actors that people might recognize, some of the, you know, B actors. Mm-hmm. It has some good, funny moments, humor in it, and it has eye candy as far as explosions and all that, so totally. It's fun.
And let me ask you the same thing that I asked Josh. What would be the biggest thing you would have against it, though? Like, if you were to rate a second class, what would have been the reason?
It runs a little bit on the long side.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Cool.
And it's a little bit dated. I mean, when the aliens are coming, no one's getting out their cell phones.
That's true. You do have pretty much everyone on either a really old cell phone or just a standard landline phone.
So, and the Mac logo is the old rainbow logo.
Yeah, it is. That's true. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, and so two classics. So we definitely have a classic on our hands, but is it disputed or unanimous? And I got to say that it is...
Boom.
Boom. Boom.
Unanimous
classic because
I thought that was a negative noise.
I know. No. It sounds like people go boo. No.
The unanimous second classes smell like poop. That's the sound clip we use for that. Anyway, yes, I rate Independence Day a classic as well. It is a very enjoyable movie. Tons of quotable lines. I just, a lot of them I forgot, but now I remember them all coming back to me. It's just a really fun movie. I would certainly show Sophia it when she's like teenager. It's just really fun. And if I were to rate it second class movie, though, I think it'd be because there's too many characters that you don't care about. It's fine to have lots of characters, but you can really muddle it and drag a movie down by adding lots of characters that you just don't care about.
And for first time listeners should know that Sophia is your daughter.
Yeah, actually, thank you, Josh. Yes, Sophia is my daughter. I thought I said my daughter, not Sophia. She is currently 15 months, so we got a ways to go, but...
Gotcha.
These movies will still be around, I would think.
Unless the aliens come before then.
And take all the movies.
Destroy them all.
What?
Well, they destroyed Capitol Records building, and there goes all the music.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All the music.
Yeah, it's all stored there.
Unfortunately, Apple.
That's where the internet
now,
is.
So. Anyway, let's move on to our new tube segment. Alice, go.
New tube systems engaged.
Alrighty. Now, guys, it'd be great if your new tubes had something was at least tangentially related to Independence Day. But if not, no worries. Josh, what is new on your tube?
Star Fox 64. No,
you
I'm
actually
just
replayed
kidding.
It? Oh,
no.
I am.
Well, I know. I
nothing's
going
to compare to that now.
A couple weeks ago, I was playing it.
Oh, cool.
the emulator on my computer. I need to get the N64 controller to hook up to my computer so I can really get the feel back. The first time I was on the show, I actually mentioned a kind of
Carnival Paradise Palace?
Caravan Palace.
Yeah,
Caravan
too.
Palace.
Yeah.
Their song Rocket For Me, which was a kind of a swing jazz electronic kind of thing. Well, there's something else I've been kind of listening to on the same line. It's, you know, Macklemore's song Thrift Shop?
Nope.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's like the most, it's like number one on Billboard forever. And anyway, so there's this cover of it called Vintage Grandpa Style. And they do the whole song, basically. It's a rap song, in case you don't know it.
Okay.
But it's like it's a novelty kind of really funny song. And they do it in a kind of 20s ragtime kind of style, which is really fun.
Interesting.
But what's even more fun is somebody took that cover and made a electro swing remix, what it's called.
Okay.
And it's actually really fun. I had a lot of fun listening to that.
Very cool.
And who's it by? Like, if I were to go on YouTube and look for that, the remix of the remix that you're talking about, what would I
It's
look
called
under?
Barton Baker Electro Swing Remix. And then you can just thrift shop Macklemore.
Cool.
And Imagine Dragons' song Radioactive, but I've been listening to that for a while. But it's kind of making a resurgence back in my playlist.
Nice. Cool. Well, thank you, Josh.
Radioactive.
Alrighty. Well, Paul, what is new on your tube?
For some reason lately, somebody at work mentioned it a week ago. I was like, I installed Plants vs. Zombies on my Kindle Fire. And I'm like, I haven't played that in like a year or so. And I restarted playing it, and I spent hours re-killing, going through them all. And it's one of those silly, addictive games for me that just absorbs my time. It's really addictive. And Plants vs. Zombies 2 is coming out, I think, next month for the iOS for Apple products.
And do you know the name of it?
It's something about time.
Oh,
where you go through time in different settings is like in different times.
Then what I saw was maybe a joke. It was called Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare.
Maybe that's what it's called. I don't know.
Okay. I thought that was a great play on Modern Warfare.
Garden. Oh, Modern. Oh, that is cute. Yeah, I didn't
get it until you explained it. Maybe if I saw the type treatment, I'd get it.
But. Yeah, that probably, yeah.
Awesome.
So, Paul. Francisco.
Yes.
What is new on your tube?
Well, unlike both of yours that had nothing to do with Independence Day,
Hey, I said Star Fox 64.
That wasn't your real one.
And mine is like a war of invasion.
Of non-humans versus
it's plants. Non-humans versus non-humans. Yeah, what are you talking about? All right. In the vein of Independence Day, I recently got the game.
Oh, sorry.
What?
No, I'm so sorry. I just talked over you. That was so rude of me. I'm sorry. I was
do that all the time.
I know, but like it was totally blatant. Oh. I feel really bad. Anyway, the title for Plants vs. Zombies 2 is called It's About Time, which is the tagline for Back to the Future movie.
Is it spelled time like the spice?
Oh, no, because they actually travel through time.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm sorry, Francis, you can edit all this out. Please go for it.
Yeah. Garden Warfare is so much better.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So what's new on my tube is also on my, speaking of iOS devices, it's on my iPad. I downloaded XCOM Enemy Unknown. And you might be saying, I've heard that before on the Retro Rewind podcast. And that's because my brother Kitos recommended it for, I believe it was episode number 11 of the Retro Rewind podcast. So just go to retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP11 and there he will recommend it. Anyway, XCOM is a tactical strategy game where you control a squad of like army guys or marine guys. They don't really have a division of the military affiliation, but you can upgrade them and you send them out to essentially just kill these aliens that keep abducting people and keep trying to destroy the planet. So it's a really fun game. It's one of those games where you play it so long, you like sort of binge play it for a while, and when you start falling asleep, you see the game. I don't know if you guys ever...
There's a term for that. There's something about Tetris. There's an actual term for it. I can't remember, though.
Okay, cool.
But that's true of any game that you play too long.
Well, yeah, but that's the point. I haven't really had a game recently where I played like that. Held my interest.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, no, I'm not complaining about it. It's a good thing that there aren't that many games that do that.
Yeah, because that means your life isn't totally wrapped around mindless.
It's called Tetris Effect. It's on Wikipedia.
That's kind of a lame
also
name.
Known as Tetris Syndrome.
Nah, I need a cooler sounding name than that. But okay.
yeah.
Anyway, so I would highly recommend XCOM. It's a fairly pricey iOS game. It's $19.99, but it is the full console. It is the full console / PC game. It's like the full game, just with slightly reduced graphics. But it's still awesome to play. And multiplayer is coming with a free update, but it's not there yet.
Cool.
I agree. It is cool.
And it has to do with alien invasion.
It does, exactly. A little more subversive style alien invasion than Independence Day, but still aliens nonetheless.
Yes.
So I think I win this new tube segment. Anyway.
Should have said Full House. My marathons of Full House.
Are there aliens in Full House?
No, but it would
have
been
better. Do they celebrate July 4th?
No, but that's how
you
I win
are
is because it's better. Yeah. I couldn't even
No, but Michelle Tanner is an alien. No.
The Olsen twins are aliens. That's how.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Alice, do we have our show announcements ready?
ComSat online. Receiving incoming transmission.
Wow, that's kind of scary, Josh. Anyway, I don't believe we actually...
What's scary?
His tongue sticking out at me.
I was sticking out at me, not you.
Oh, yeah. You can't see because you're on the phone now. But
Our listeners cannot see either. So,
that's
helpful.
Describing Josh's tongue was sticking out and threatening me.
Like a dog.
Yes. no, dog's tongues aren't threatening. But,
But Josh's tongue is like, hey, Francisco, I'm intimidating. Go to the corner.
Exactly. I saw this like face on it, similar to the Thumb Wars.
Oh, I was thinking like Aliens, where his tongue is another face.
What? I was thinking, he means the tongue. His tongue has the tongue of its own.
Oh, wow. So while we are a sort of, I forget what the term is, but I'm I'm looking up, I thought we had some feedback. Oh, yes, here we go. All right. So for Independence Day, we got some feedback, and I should have read this during the show, but it was Valerie Ann said, Independence Day is part of RRP. This makes me feel old. I'm sorry, Valerie.
Yeah.
But you are
Do you guys have like a cutoff year? Is it 15, you said? 15 years?
15 years or older. So magically we keep having more movies added each year. Bwahaha.
And more second class films.
And then, let's see. Then, Paul, you said, we got a guest host. Thank you, Josh Powers, for stepping up.
And no problemo.
Thank you for stepping up. Paul posted that we are going to be doing Independence Day, and we had several responses to that. Sharon Collins said, classic. Elise Nicole Smith said, favorite movie of all time. Dixie Thompson said, I've always liked it. Paul J. Powers said, wow, a lot of support for this movie, smiley face. And Cody Smith said, classic movie all the way. Apparently, we agree with all these people, given how we rated the movie. All right. And with that, let's go ahead and move into just how people can reach us if they want to get in touch with us. Paul, how can people reach you?
PaulJPowers.com. There you can... find me on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or whatever the social thing that you're on. I might be on it. Go to pauljpowers.com.
Great. Josh, how can people find you if they'd like to reach out to you?
You can find me on Twitter. My name is at Joshua Powers, where you can follow me and where I come up with funny, semi-funny, semi-interesting things. Maybe not. You be the judge on that. Or you can find me on iriffs.com, IRIFFS.com. And my comedy group, Treacher Riffs, where we riff movies.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And so you can find me on Twitter. I am at FXRUIZX. You can also email the show. Send your emails to feedback at retrorewindpodcast.com, and you can always find us at retrorewindpodcast.com. Oh, and our Facebook page, facebook.com/retrorewindpodcast. See how that makes sense?
Be sure to like it.
Yes, please like it. And speaking of liking things, we would love if you rated us and reviewed us on iTunes. Easy way to get to our iTunes page is go to retrorewindpodcast.com/iTunes RRP. That's probably the easiest way to find it, so you don't have to do searching. But you can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher Radio. You can find us on Miro, or just any. We have an RSS feed. You can plug into any podcatcher you like. But really appreciate all you who listen to the Retro Rewind podcast. It's awesome to see you guys downloading and responding and sharing your thoughts. It's really cool. And speaking of thanking people, I want to thank Josh for pinch hitting today with Independence Day.
I have to, next March 17th, I want to pinch hit.
Okay, it's oddly specific.
Because it's St. Patrick's Day, and if you're not wearing green,
you'll pinch it.
I don't think you're ever going to be on the show again, Josh, for that lame joke.
Oh, no.
I'm kidding.
Worth Except it. When we need a pinch.
I'm the king of lame jokes, so no worries. We will not excommunicate you for that. Paul, yeah. I also want to thank you for being on the show, as always.
No. Thank you.
You are welcome.
For always being on the show.
You are very welcome. All righty, guys. Alice, thanks for being on the show as well. And will you take us out?
To the ball game.
To the ball game. Oh, and I almost forgot. Listeners, like a Pokemon, we'll catch you later.
Yeah, I think... Thanks to the listeners.
Retro Rewind mission complete.
Thank you. You're awesome.
Proceed to Nat Point Omega and return to base.
Now that's what I call a close encounter.
And scene. That was awesome. That is totally standard.